Or if y'all will, join in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for all our blessings that you've given to us. And Father, we thank you this morning that we can meet here in this building and fellowship around your word and to study your word. And Father, let us believe you mean what you say. And Father, we ask you this morning to be with those who are sick. You know these situations. You know the needs. We ask you to restore these people to a measure of health. And Father, we ask you this morning to get honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Anybody got a question or something you want to deal with, maybe? Not that I have any answers, but I believe all the answers are in this Bible if we can find them. And God will show them to us. Okay, if not, y'all turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I won't, and this morning, I don't know exactly what I may do here. I want you to remember, as we study, regardless of where we're studying at, whether it be in Genesis or Revelation or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or wherever it is, that Paul wrote to two different groups of people, and he went to the first group, he went to them and wrote to them. He did not go to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 13. He wrote letter to these people in Colossians, but he went to these people here and he wrote six epistles to these people here. And the things that he wrote in here are different than what he wrote over here. So we must rightly divide Paul's epistles. And that's why 2 Timothy 2:15 is in your Bible. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he's talking about rightly dividing Romans to Philemon. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And I believe we're in a bad state of mind now today with the scientists and all that are disagreeing with the word of God wholeheartedly today. And you watch them on television and they talk about the end of the world, how the world was made. And I've never watched it, and I doubt I will, but maybe some of you have in here. Have y'all ever watched any of that segment of, I think it's Morgan Freeman, Through the Wormhole? I'm not by myself. It has something to do with looking through this universe, and there's a hole up here somewhere. And they're talking about seeing beyond this thing here. I don't care what's back there beyond that, do y'all? You know why? Got any idea? Let's say this is the world right here. Our universe that we live in, the starry heaven out here and the out above that, where all the planets and all that are. Are there any other things outside of this? Yeah. I believe there are.
Oh, yeah.
Sure it is.
I believe the Bible says that Paul's caught up to the third heaven, wasn't he?
Right.
Well, where are we at?
On earth.
We're above all heaven, ain't we? So whatever is out there, we are joint heir with the Lord, aren't we? According to Romans chapter 8, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Okay? So whatever God has, whatever Christ has, we are joint heirs with Christ, because that when you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you became a part of His body. And that body was resurrected in A.D. 33, and it ascended up above all heavens. And we're seated wherever God is right now in the throne room with Jesus Christ, spiritually, already there. So when Paul wrote to these people here who first trusted in Christ, he wrote some different things than he did to these people over here. And that's what I want to look at this morning, is some things in here that differ. Now, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22, for the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, all Greeks are Gentiles, but all Gentiles are not Greeks. Those who first trusted in Christ are I have to stop and let my mind slow down just so I can think the right way. That's bad when you get that way, ain't it? Those who first trusted in Christ are Jew and Greek. Okay? Now, these over here that heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation, they are spiritually baptized together with these in a body of Christ. But these over here that were Jew and Gentile, they have to forsake their covenant promises with Abraham. You understand? They give up the land grant. They give up the promises that were made to Abraham back here in the book of Genesis. Now, they are all one in Christ and one body. We are many members, yet but one body. Okay? Think about your body. As many members, yet one body, so also is Christ. Okay? Now, verse 22 again. For the Jews require a sign. In your new translation, changes that word require to need. No. The Jews required signs. All the way from back here, when God started dealing with Israel back here, they required signs. They did signs and wonders. Now, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they did signs and wonders. In the book of Acts, the apostles did signs and wonders. Why? Because of the Jews. The Jews require signs. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But Paul said, look at the next verse, but we, look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called. Well, what are they called into? Were any of y'all here last Sunday? Go to Holy Place and go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also what? He called. Well, the calling, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Well, did God call the Jews and the Greeks that first trusted in Christ? Did he call them to be conformed to the image of his Son?
Yeah.
Well, has he called us to be conformed to the image of his Son?
Yes.
How do you know that? Go to Philippians. Oh, what you got here? Go to Philippians chapter 3. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Beloved, he called all of us, those who first trusted, in whom you also trusted, by the same gospel. But this is called the mystery of the gospel over here. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 20. In Philippians 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Is he going to change our vile body someday? Will it be fashioned like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I know the Jews require signs, and as long as Paul was going to the Jews and the Gentiles in the book of Acts, Paul did signs and wonders. But when he wrote to those over here that were not in the covenant of promise, Paul had no more power to do signs and wonders. He lost his power because the Jews became Lo-Ammoni in A.D. 70, not God's people. So anybody, you can just mark them, anybody that tells you today that you got to bless a Jew to get blessed, and if the United States of America would bless Israel, God would bless us. No. If you'll trust Christ as your personal Savior, God will bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And He knew you before the foundation of the world. He knew if you would or would not trust Christ. And there's some of them that will not. I don't give a flip what you do. You, like Paul said, if I set myself on fire, would it help you? In other words, you can show people the truth. You can show them what idolatry is. You can show them what God hates. And they say, well, that don't make no difference to me. That's the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to be that way the rest of my life. Well, that's your problem, not mine. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, it binds us together. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Well, were all people dead?
Yes.
Did Jesus Christ have to die for all men?
Yes.
You know why? This Bible is very clear. There's none good, no, not one. There's not a just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that seeketh God. No, not one. So you can't seek God. The only way you're going to find God is in the King James Bible. You won't find God in the New Translations. He ain't in it. That's a book of Satan. And I don't care what people think about me saying that. I stand on 1611 King James Bible, and I believe Psalms 12 is very clear. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation and forever, and forever ain't God here yet. So God Almighty said it's His responsibility to preserve His Word. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Should you live unto yourself? Do you get up in the morning to go to work for yourself, or do you get up in the morning to go to work for the Lord? And when you get out and cut grass in the yard, do you get out and cut grass that's for the Lord, or do you do it for yourself to impress your neighbor? You women get up and cook in the morning. Y'all get up and cook for the Lord, or do you get up and cook for yourself? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, God said, do as unto the Lord. I don't care what you do, whatever it is, if you go fishing for the Lord's sake. You know why?
Reward.
We belong to the Lord. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is His. I bet you ain't never read that. Hold what you got here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to, let's go to verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. know the buildeth their own, but let every man take heed how he buildeth their own. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolish with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in his own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Come to chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them a member of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined unto an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. What, do you belong to God?
Yes.
Well, whatever you do in word or deed, do as unto the Lord. Whether you go fishing, whether you go swimming, whatever you do, do it for the Lord's sake, to get honor and glory to the Lord through it somehow or another. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Well, let me ask you a question. In your daily life, do you always get honor and glory to God by what you do?
No.
I don't. I ain't learned how to do all of that yet. I'm still trying to do that. I don't know if I'll ever do that. Maybe some of you have better willpower than I do. I get so frustrated sometimes I can just blow the whole mess up. I got two pine trees. If I had a stick of dynamite, I'd blow them out of the ground. They ain't mine. But I have problems from them. And the little squirrels that gets up in there and eats the pine cones. They hang right over our swimming pool. I cleaned it 3 times yesterday. And it looks like trash this morning. I wouldn't get out there and blow them up for the Lord's sake, but I'd get out there and blow them up for my sake if I thought I could get away with it.
It's not the pine trees, it's the squirrels.
Sir?
It's not the pine trees problem, it's the squirrels.
Well, I'll chop some of them if they turn around and come back. I'd like to get my .22 out there and shoot them permanently, but can't shoot my gun in the city limits. Oh, that ain't got nothing to do with this. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Are we to consider one another after the flesh? I don't think so. Didn't Paul say, henceforth know we no man after the flesh? Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, go back to where we started in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There's some things that Paul writes to these people he first trusted in Christ here, and it's people nowadays don't know how to turn loose of. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 again, but we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Why? Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how there are not many wise men after the flesh, not many minded, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him, as of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. Well, where should we glory at then? In ourselves or in the Lord? I glory in the cross of Christ. In other words, when Christ died at Calvary, he died because of what I am and what because of what all the rest of the world is. That's why Jesus Christ died, was for us. Now, let's look at some of these things about the signs and the things that differ in Paul's gospel. Go to Psalms 74. Go to Psalms, I believe it's 74. Give me just a minute. Psalm 74. Go to verse 1. Now this will sort of match some of the things in Romans chapter 11, the casting away of Israel, his people. In Psalm 74, verse 1. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doeth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Well, y'all know who his sheep are, don't you? That's Israel. And you can find these in Jeremiah chapter 50. I'll tell you what to do. Hold your place and go to Jeremiah 50. Go to Jeremiah chapter 50. You see, I keep telling people, anytime in your King James Bible when you see my people, it's always a reference to Israel. You understand? My people. My people. Now, in Jeremiah 50, verse 4, in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. In other words, there's a day coming when there's going to be a famine in the land, according to Amos. And there's going to be a famine, not of thirst of food, but of finding the Word of God. In other words, 1611 King James Bible is going to be hard to find. If you don't believe they are, go to the bookstore and look how many odd translations there are and how few 1611s are around now. And you turn on your television and watch the television evangelist and pastor and listen to him and see what book he's using. I don't know of any left that's using the 1611 King James Bible.
What, Les Feldick doesn't anymore?
Not anymore.
Les Feldick.
Ricky, your cousin uses it and Les Feldick uses it.
Les Feldick still using it?
Yes, sir.
Well, there's some of his quotes that he's not quoting out of the 1611 sometimes. When he's preaching and teaching, because I've heard him, and he's mixing them up. So I don't know if he may be using it still. I know he used
well,
to.
Well, I don't watch him much no more, but I know he used to use it.
He used to, yeah.
All
Charles Stanley used to. And he's turned, I think he's using the NIV now. And most of them now are using the New King James because it's got King James on. And you know what's crooked about that? When was this 1611 King James Bible authorized?
1611, I
guess. That ain't no trick question. When was this 1611 King James Bible authorized? 1611. They claim that New King James is authorized. Huh? You mean King James still alive? Oh, it wasn't authorized by King James. Oh, man, what a mess. Oh, man. Verse 4 again. Jeremiah 50, verse 4. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward thitherward, saying, come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant. Thou shalt not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. My people, Israel, beloved, their shepherds have caused them to go astray. Well, y'all know who the shepherd was? In the book of John?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ was the shepherd. Y'all know who the shepherd would be over here? Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, I believe it's verse 20, when the shepherd shall come. You understand? Now, in Jeremiah 50, just for time's sake, verse 17, Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria hath devoured him. And last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, as I have punished the king of Assyria. And I'll bring Israel again into his habitation, second coming, and shall feed on Carmel, and he shall feed on Carmel, and Bashan and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilgal. In those days, and at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Go to Hebrews, whole Psalm 74, go to Hebrews chapter 8. That's exactly what the new covenant is about. When God will take away Israel's sins. Beloved, the church, the body of Christ, sins were put on Jesus Christ at Calvary. They are the reason that Jesus Christ died. He died for our sins. Not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now watch what he says here in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, write them in their heart. I will be them a God, they shall be to me a people. You can find that in Ezekiel chapter 36. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, verse 13 is clear. In that he saith, a new covenant. He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth, and waxed as old as already vanished away. Is that what your Bible said?
No,
it did not. It said it's ready to vanish away. In other words, it won't vanish away until after the 7-year tribulation that God deals with Israel in the tribulation over here, looking forward to the second coming. And there'll be signs and wonders in this time over here that are not happening today. The rapture of the church will take place. Then the Antichrist can be revealed, and he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he will call the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and they're gonna run and flee and hide, for the day of the wrath of God Almighty is about to fall on them, and they know it, and you can find that in the Old Testament back here. Now go back to Psalms 74. Go back to Psalm 74. Verse 1. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doeth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old. That would be coming out of Egypt. The rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed. This Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt, lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy have done wickedly in thy sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregation. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. And I suspect if you studied this out, that'd be around AD 70 when Titus and the Roman army destroyed Jerusalem, tore it down, burned it to the ground and plowed it under. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. So they see not their signs. Now, I know that the Jews require signs. We started that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son, thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign. The law is a sign to Israel. You understand? Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as footlets between thine eyes. Go to chapter 31. chapter 31. Might as well go ahead and take Revelation. And let's start in Revelation chapter 5. You see, I believe God put this book together like He wanted it. It's put together just perfect. Now, in Deuteronomy 31, let's go to verse 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the similitude of the years of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel has come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before Israel in their hearing. Now, verse 12, gather the people together, men and women, children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord our God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Is Moses writing the law? Is he? He certainly is. Well, look what he says over here. Go to verse 19. Now therefore, write ye this song for you. Teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouth, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. Verse 22, Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. Verse 24, came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in the book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law, put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be therefore a witness unto thee. Now, did Moses write this law? Did God call it a song?
Yes.
Well, that which is old is ready to vanish away, ain't it? Go to Revelation chapter 5. Beloved, keep in mind the Jews require signs. The law is a sign. When Paul wrote to those who first trusted in Christ, he said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is witnessed by the law and the prophets. These who first trusted in Christ, that were Jews and Gentiles in the synagogue where Paul went, were keeping the law. You understand? They were under bondage to the law. Paul, when he wrote to the Galatians, he said, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? He said to the Galatians, you desire again to be in bondage. You understand? They were once under bondage to the law. Somebody's trying to get them right back under the law. We do not have the law. You understand? The law is not made for a righteous man. People are trying to put us under the law that we're not subject to. It's contrary to us. Now, Revelation chapter 5 in the book of Revelation is the time of Jacob's trouble. It is the great tribulation time. Now, in chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 1, and I'm not going to read all of it because I got some other things we got to look at before time runs out here this morning. Verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. Is there a book written here?
Yes.
That John sees?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and in the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 20 elders fell before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials, full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now, let's look at this book. Go to chapter 15. Revelation 15. Verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven. Who requires signs? The Jews. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by signs and wonders. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels, having the seven last plagues. For in them is fulfilled the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass, mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. You remember what they do with harps? Play music, don't they? Verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thou judgments are made manifest. And by the way, I want to mention something to you in verse 4 there. Read verse 4 again with me, the first part of it. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. Do y'all know why God, the only one that's holy? Go to Psalms 111. Let me show you something. I had one of them in this class here one day. I tried to show him this. He wouldn't appear to it. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion. He hath given meat to them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Reverend Al Sharpton, the low-down, sore-stinking snake in the grass, he ain't no better than you and me. He's a man. He's a evil man, the same as the rest of us. Holy and reverend. Had one in this class sitting right about there one day in a solid white suit. Y'all might have remembered him. Had a solid white shirt, solid white tie, coat, pants, socks, and shoes. Solid white. Black as the ace of spades. Alan Castor's brother. Y'all know Alan Castor that comes here. Holy and reverend. He told me his name was Reverend Castor. I said, no, you don't qualify to be a reverend. I showed him this. He left here and said, well, I'm still a reverend. Y'all think anybody qualifies to be a reverend? That's one thing I praise Brother Roy Lange about. Brother Roy Lange, somebody called him Reverend Lange, he'd set him down and say, no, I ain't. Said, I'm Brother Roy or Pastor Roy Lange. He knew the difference between a man and a reverend. They give him credit for that. And he stood by that all his life. Now, go back to Revelation. Take Revelation chapter 15. Excuse me, chapter 14. Verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. Y'all know why those Israelites and Judah were headed to Mount Zion? You do remember reading about them a while ago, don't you? They were going to hunt the Lord at Mount Zion. Y'all know why? Just a coincidence. Hold your place in, go to Isaiah. I believe it's chapter 2, maybe chapter 11. Let's look at chapter 2. I think that's where it's at. Isaiah chapter 2, old Revelation, 14. We're going to get back to it. Isaiah 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the last days. I suspect that's the last days of the tribulation. Probably the last 3.5 years. You see how I said that? I suspect. You study and see what you see. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain. In other words, when mountains sometimes are mentioned in your Bible, it's kingdoms. You understand? It's kingdoms. In Daniel 2:44, there's a kingdom going to be established over here, the mountain of the Lord, and it's going to cover the whole land. Now, verse 2, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow into it. Many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now hold the fort. Didn't we read in Hebrews chapter 8, the last verse, that the old covenant's ready to vanish away? Well, they must be talking about a new law. Go back to Revelation chapter 14. Verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. That's those of chapter 7 that died. That's those that come out of death. They are 12,000 from each tribe. 12 tribes. 12 times 12, 144,000. Having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song, new law. You understand? God's going to make a new covenant with them. It's going to have things that they can't do and can do, but it will have His love involved in it. This old law back here was harsh and had no love in it. Jesus Christ died His love for mankind, and His love for His people will be in this new law. Why hast thou cast us off forever? Psalm 74. No, not forever. Someday they will be reunited over here. He will remarry Israel. In the book of Jeremiah, God gave Israel a divorce. He will remarry her over here. You understand? Now watch what it says here. Verse 3. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. I challenge you. Now this ought to be just eat you up until you have a Jehovah Witness come to your house and ask that Jehovah Witness, would you please sing me the new song of Moses? You know why? They claim they are the 144,000. Get them to teach you that song. Come teach me that song. I'd like to know what it is. Do you know what the new song of Moses is? It's going to be made with the house of Israel, house of Judah after those days. God said in Ezekiel, I'll put my laws in their heart and in their mind. Look at this 144,000. Now don't get the wrong idea about what you're fixing to read in verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women. You mean they can't be married?
Right.
You mean they must have went to a bad home, a red light house? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what the, you know what the woman is here? Go to chapter 17. Bad you ask. Verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters. Y'all know what the waters are? Look at verse 15. And he said unto me, these waters which thou sawest where the whore setteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will. Now there's the institute of God there to do His will, like we were talking before class here. Verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That's Babylon, the great whore, the mother of harlots, the abomination of God Almighty's earth. Idolatrous worshiping people involved in this. Go back to chapter 14. Verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. In other words, they had no dealings with this great whore. You know what God told these people to do? Go to chapter 18. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her, even as she rewarded you. Double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fulfill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, lived diligently. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I set a queen, and am no willer, and shall see no sorrow. Now you can find that in Proverbs 2, and you find that in Jeremiah 44, and other places in your Bible. Now, go to chapter 17. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit to the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And these seven heads, go to verse 9. And here is the man which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. In other words, these are kingdoms, according to Daniel chapter 2, on which the woman sat. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And you'll have the Egyptian kingdom, the Assyrian kingdom, and the Persian and Media kingdom, and the Grecian. And in the time of the writing of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Rome was in power, the Roman kingdom. Now, one day we don't have time this morning, but one day we're going to get into these kings and kingdoms here and see who they are, and you'll match them in the book of Daniel. You can see them there back in the book of Daniel. Go back to chapter 14 and we'll close. Verse 3. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. In other words, I think it's still down there on Government Street. There used to be a church down there, and the name of it is New Song Church. You reckon they know what they're talking about?
No.
Doubt it very seriously. Okay, I don't know if I've helped you any or not.